You guys, it's Friday again. Time for another movie retrospective.
This is a good one.
Here's another one of Jenny's favorites. Yeah. Now this one, okay. I debated whether to do this one or not because it's technically not a horror movie or a sci-fi movie. It's a comedy, but it has like Frankenstein-y kind of horror elements to it. So I figured it was probably.
And the humor has aged well. A lot of humor in comedy doesn't age that well.
It really doesn't.
Steve Martin, most of his stuff aged pretty well. Even The Jerk aged okay.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny because actually a listener sent this to us and I was so excited because this is one of those movies that, you know, as and I've probably mentioned this on the show before, but when I was a kid growing up, you know, we were kind of poor. And but my dad worked for Cablevision, so we had all the channels, like, right from when they first came out, because that was one of the perks of the job, was you got cable for free. So, you know, pretty much, like, from the second MTV started, we had MTV, like, so we had, and we had all the pay channels for free and stuff like that. So a lot of my childhood was renting movies at Movie Gallery, slasher movies, or watching the same movie over and over on HBO or
Cinemax. Our generation did that. Our generation did that. We sit around and watch HBO and Cinemax and shit like that. Like
which,
MTV.
Which is why I've seen time after time a zillion times.
Seen a million times.
The pirate movie I've seen a zillion
Blue
times.
Blue Lagoon. I must have saw Lagoon. Blue Lagoon. I had to get Blue Lagoon on Blu-ray because, man, I saw that shit a million times. I remember liking that movie.
I remember it being all right.
I don't know
how it's aged. I haven't
seen
it since I was a kid,
though. I haven't seen it in a long time, yeah.
And that's the thing about this one. The Man with Two Brains. This came out in 1983 when I was 11 years old and probably went to pay TV a year or two later, which is probably when I first saw it because I didn't see it in the theater. I felt like, here's the thing, I hadn't seen it. Like, I saw it so many times when I was a kid. I seriously had it memorized. And even when I rewatched it, because like I said, one of our listeners sent it to us and I was like really excited. And I said, okay, I'm going to watch this again. And it will break my heart if it is not as funny as I remember it being.
Yeah,
you but know, it was. You know it was. I was funny. So excited.
I had one that I had memorized, you know, the same way. It was History of the World Part 1.
I remember that movie. Yeah.
And I saw it recently. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny.
The only movies that I've seen from back then, because I'm not a huge fan of comedies. I don't see a lot of them. You know, I'm mostly a horror person. So I do like some comedies, but it has to be a particular type of comedy for me to think it's funny. Guys, I have a kind of a weird sense of humor.
Yeah.
The two movies that I've seen rewatched recently that I loved as a kid. Ghostbusters, still funny.
Yes.
I just watched it like a month
One
ago.
One and two, they're okay.
Still funny.
Yeah.
Man with Two Brains, still funny. It's still funny.
I got to hand it to Ghostbusters 1, though. That's still a solid damn movie.
It really is.
It's good, yeah.
It really is.
It has a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? It has some humor. Kind of has a little bit of suspense, even if you don't know what's going to happen. It does kind of get a little spooky.
It's scary. It has scary parts in it. It's got like scary parts in it.
Yeah, great soundtrack. Kind of like Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. Hard to beat those two movies.
Those held up really well, too. Yeah. I was surprised.
Yeah, I got both of those.
I saw those as a kid, but they didn't.
The soundtrack.
But they didn't make as much of an impression. For some reason, like Ghostbusters, I saw it in the theater, and like I loved that movie. And I was like, I watched it again because it was on Netflix for a little while. And I said, I'm going to watch this again and see if it's still funny. And it's still funny. Yeah. And this one, like I said, I saw it a zillion times when I was a kid. I mean, me and my brother used to like fucking quote lines to each other to this all the time. You cooked her nines, we used to say all the time. Like shit like that. So I was like, please let this still be funny. Please let this still be funny because I'll be so sad if it's not. But it really, really still works. And it's funny because I looked at the Wikipedia page for this briefly and there's really not a lot of information. There's like no production information, no information about like the writing of the script or
Jeffrey Combs is in it.
Yeah. Oh, I've forgotten about this because check this out. Okay. So we watched it again recently, right?
Yeah.
And there is a scene in it. There's a scene in it where Kathleen Turner, is getting brain surgery and the doctor decides because it's Valentine's Day that he's going to shave her pubes into a heart shape, even though she's getting brain surgery and her pubes don't have anything to do with it. And Steve Martin comes in and is like, what are you doing? Type of thing. And that doctor that did it, or I guess he's a nurse, is Jeffrey Combs. Because I forgot that he was in it. And then like when we watched it again, I'm like, holy shit, that's Jeffrey Combs.
It was a patron that sent us a copy of this movie.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sent us a copy of a bunch of them.
And I was like,
it was
very
awesome.
Excited.
We got patrons that really back us up sometimes.
I love this
If you
movie
have
so
any
much.
Movies you want us to review, just send us a copy. Or an original.
But yeah, then, that's we'll do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to get around to all of them. It's like we have so many. Like, I have this humongous list, like I've said. But okay, so the whole thing, the whole plot of The Man with Two Brains, Carl Reiner actually directed this. So, you know, it's like funny because he did like other funny movies. Steve Martin is the star of it. He plays a brain surgeon, like a genius brain surgeon named Dr. Huffar.
Huffar, yeah.
You have to say her H-F-U-F-F, you know, because she spells it like in the thing. So, and he's, the funny thing about his character is that I feel like Steve Martin was kind of known for zany over-the-top humor, but the best parts of this movie are when he's
being coked out.
Well, that too.
Not
as much as Robin Williams.
And not as much as Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks was coked out like crazy.
Anybody did as much coke as Robin Williams.
You have to understand the 80s. People. For you youngsters, you don't know. The 80s were
so much
a special time.
So much coke.
They were a special time.
Oh my God, it was everywhere.
It was cheap back then.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's the thing. So everybody was super coked up like all this. Well, I wasn't because I was a kid, but you know what I mean.
Couldn't get our hands on it. We were too young.
Damn it. But yeah, so, but I think the best parts of this movie are when Steve Martin is just being kind of like low key because... Here's the thing. Like, he is a genius brain surgeon. He has invented this technique, the cranial screw top, which basically you just unscrew a person's head for somebody. Yeah, it doesn't. Don't think about it too much. Yeah. And just pop the brain out and just pop the new brain in, you know, whatever you want to do. So he's like this big genius brain surgeon and he's like been in all the, you know, magazines and everything like that. But he's like super, super arrogant. But like the funny thing is when he's like talking about how awesome he is, but because he's very, very low key about it. You know what I mean? Because there's this one thing where this guy's interviewing him for a magazine and is like, you know, what did I say? It's like, yeah, my contributions to science will probably make me one of the most, you know, amazing people like in history or something. He's like, take out the probably though. It makes me sound wishy-washy. You know what I mean? It's like shit like that. So it's like that kind of shit is the funniest. Now, Steve Martin's Dr. Huffar. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I hope he doesn't get mad at me.
It's just some hilarious shit.
Yeah, it's just, it's really funny. So he, it's probably much funnier than I'm making it sound.
That is funny. It is funny.
But so his wife has died and he was like super, super in love with her and he's not really getting over it. He had like a Barbie doll made of her that like looks like her. That was another funny part too when he puts the Barbie doll up on the thing and he's like, is that her? He's like, no, that's not her. That's a Barbie doll of her. Like, you know what I mean?
Before she gets into this, the production quality on this movie is very high. I mean, this is a good movie. And all this ridiculous shit going on.
It's ridiculous.
Really funny.
But funny ridiculous.
And it's filmed really well. It's got like a really like good cast and just everything about it. It was just a good quality movie. It was almost kind of like watching... It's as good as Ghostbusters 1. It's just a different kind of movie.
I think it is, yeah. It's a different, like, it's sort of in the same genre because
it's the same genre, yeah.
It's kind of like a horror-tinged or sci-fi tinged comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it's got aspects of Frankenstein in it.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's not not as over the top with like the special
effects.
It's
a high quality movie. Yeah. It was a Hollywood blockbuster in its day. It was a high quality movie, as good as Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah, I think it is.
If you like Ghostbusters 1, see this one.
Yeah, like look this one up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, he's still getting over the death of his wife. And then while he's like, you know, talking to this guy that's interviewing him in the car, he hits Kathleen Turner, who's playing a woman named Dolores. Dolores is a horrible gold-digging harpy. And she has contributed to the heart attack death of her first husband. Just by being so horrible. And so, like, she gets hit by Steve Martin's car. And, you know, there's this whole thing where he's like, oh, you know, the most preeminent brain surgeon in the world, you know, hit her and is able to save her life. And it was, like, this big thing. And so he, you know, understandably, like, falls in love with her while she's in a coma. But she is still, like I said, a gold-digging harpy.
Yeah.
So when she wakes up and finds out that he's like this big preeminent surgeon and he has all this money and stuff like that, so she says, oh, here's my next victim. So she kind of like pretends like to fall in love with him. She marries him and all this other kind of stuff. And then it so happens that he has to go to, I think he goes to Vienna, I think it is. And he meets this doctor played by the wonderful, wonderful David Warner named Dr. Necessiter. And Dr. Necessiter has apparently figured out how to pop brains out of people and put them... Well, he wants to transplant brains into another person, but so far he's only done gorillas, and it hasn't worked out so good.
Yeah, I remember
But this. He needs, like, subjects, okay? Yeah. So he gets subjects by this serial killer that's running around Vienna called the Elevator Killer.
Yeah, when you find out who this serial killer is, I don't know if a person...
You are the Elevator Killer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who it is. Although it might not be funny to young people.
It wouldn't be funny to young people because they don't know who it is.
Because they don't know who it is.
And the older people know who the serial killer is. The serial killer is Merv Griffin. Okay.
Playing himself.
Yeah, playing himself.
It's actually Merv Griffin, right. The guy that had the talk show.
For you younger people, Merv Griffin was a talk show host.
Very, 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 very hugely famous.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was cool. I remember him as a little kid. Yeah. He was kind of like Johnny Carson.
Yeah, like pretty much on that same level. Like everybody knew who Merv Griffin was.
Merv Griffin, though, was kind of intimidating. He had a lot of power to him. Merv Griffin could make or break you in Hollywood.
Not
Merv Griffin, talking about Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, yeah.
Merv Griffin was kind of more like a friendly guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was a heavy hitter in his day.
But the fact of...
And that was back on a talk show where people smoked and drank on the talk show.
Like we're always talking about.
Like we
about.
Do here.
Like our show. Like we except do we don't smoke anymore.
Yeah, smoke
you anymore. Vape, though.
I vape a little bit.
That's kind of close.
Back on those days, they sit there and be...
But yeah, so that was kind of another joke, too, was that the serial killer was Merv Griffin. And like I said, it was actually Merv Griffin. It wasn't Merv Griffin playing a serial killer. He was actually the Merv Griffin. And his whole thing was the reason why he was providing subjects for Dr. Necessiter was because he would kill you by injecting essentially Windex into your ass.
Yeah.
And it would make your brain die last. So you would get the bodies and like he could be able to pop
the
brain out. And it was still, it's like I said, it's a totally ridiculous premise.
You're dealing with something kind of like
it's a totally ridiculous premise.
Cross between Ghostbusters and Little Shop of Horrors happen in this movie.
That's actually a good thing. Yeah. So Steve Martin, like, while he's dealing with this horrible wife that he's married, who he slowly begins to discover, like, he's not really as bright as he thinks he is. So it takes him a long time to kind of figure out what her game is. But while he's at Dr. Necessiter's place and he has all these brains in jars and he figures out that he has a psychic connection to one of the brains and Melmahay, and it's actually voiced by Sissy Spacek. She is not credited.
Right.
But it's funny because I recognize her voice immediately because I've seen Carrie a million times. Yeah. But she's the voice of Anne in this. So Steve Martin falls in love with the brain, and then Dr. Necessiter tells him, well, the brains don't last very long, like in the juice or in the, liquid that he has them preserved in. She needs a body, and I'm not sure how well it's going to work out because I've just put them in gorillas and it's not working out so good. So Steve Martin basically has to procure a body to put this brain into that he has fallen in love with. And like I said, I know it sounds like a ridiculous premise, but I think the thing that I liked about this movie, because I'm not super into, I don't know if I want to say this categorically, but I'm not super into like zany kind of horror. If it gets too zany, I'm just like, knock it off. I'm more a fan of like more low key or like sarcastic humor. Like I like a lot of British comedy and stuff like that. But this has its zany moments and the premise is zany, but it's played, a lot of it is played straight, which I think makes it work.
It's almost kind of like a 50s horror movie, something kind of like a weird brain transplant science fiction movie, something with Bela Lugosi, or maybe like a Eyes Without a Face type thing. It's essentially a horror movie, but it's funny.
Yeah. Like everyone's taking it very seriously.
Yeah.
Except
with a great cast.
But they say funny shit.
A great cast, and they're just
Kathleen Turner.
Coked out.
Kathleen Turner.
Coked out Hollywood people.
Is so good in this.
Yeah.
I have to say, this is like, when I was watching it again, I'm like, wow, this movie is like the only female character is like a horrible. Yeah. It's a horrible cunty, like, twat that
it was
just
funny,
like.
Funny, though, man.
But she was so, so funny, and it's like, how often in a movie do you get to hear Kathleen Turner call someone a nigger kike wop? Never.
Yeah.
But in this movie, she does.
Oh, yeah. This movie was intended to be just like, violated a lot of like PC laws. It was supposed to be outrageous. But the humor was like that back then.
Well, think and about it. The thing, and this, God, like I said, this movie, it's, I saw it so many times, and it has so many fucking great lines. It's like, the bit, I love when he brings Kathleen Turner home for the first time to his, like, palatial estate, and he's got, like, two Hispanic or Mexican, you know, gardeners or whatever, and they're, like, standing on the porch, and she goes, what are those assholes doing on the porch? He's like, it's not assholes, it's pronounced azaleas, because there's, like, all these fucking flowers up on the fucking porch.
And it was, she's like, up screwing one of those guys and everything. Remember that?
Yeah, that's the he was, like, the pool guy or one the of the pool gardeners guy, muscular, or something like that. Can you tell me Mexican when guy? That guy's going to be here alone? I'm so scared of him.
She starts screwing the pool guy.
She's just a horrible character. Yeah, yeah. But you can tell that she's, like, relishing it. Like, she's having so much fun, like, but playing she was that role.
Kind of like a stereotypical gold digger.
Yeah.
You know.
Like
social climber.
Like he comes into the hotel room, like in Vienna, and like there's like some old Sigmund Freud looking motherfucker, like in, with his hand like going toward her butt, and she's like, he's paying me $10,000 to touch my behind.
Yeah. He keeps trying to screw her and shit, and she's trying to fucking.
And she's just like, she has a headache all the time. She's like trying to avoid
it. But she wants to screw the fucking pool guy, the Mexican pool guy who doesn't have a pot to piss in.
She's,
with his money. Trying to get all his money.
She just wants all his money. That's basically her whole thing, is she just runs through all these husbands. Because she's like super sexy and everything, so she can, like, manipulate these men into giving her all this money. And that's what she's been doing. Like I said, they showed her the beginning.
That's her job.
Yeah. So, but then this, you know, this whole thing happens where Steve Martin falls in love with the brain, and she finds out about it because she actually sees him, like, out on a rowboat. He's taken the brain out on a rowboat on a date.
Yeah.
And he puts wax lips on it.
It's just the same old thing where in the end, he's trying to put the perfect female brain into the perfect female body. The brain of a good girl inside the fucking body of a hoe.
That's every man's dream, really.
That's what he's trying to do. Okay.
Doesn't work out quite the way he planned, but it is a happy ending.
That's what he's
thinking. It is
if
a happy
I have
ending.
That brain and that body. That's the idea of the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of like where the whole thing goes. Like I said, it doesn't end up exactly how he wanted, but it actually has a happy ending. It has like kind of a nice message at the end of it. But so if you haven't seen The Man with Two Brains, seriously, 1983. It's so, so funny. Now I'm going to feel bad if, like, people watch it and go, bitch, that's not funny. I think it's funny.
I think it's still funny.
I think it's still funny after all this time, and I hope that's not just my nostalgia talking, I think some just of because the, I love this movie
I think some of the stuff, some of the tropes and some of the ideas and the concepts are kind of universal, I think.
Yeah.
I think it still kind of stands up. And it's, I think a yoga person would like it.
Like I said, I think Merv Griffin being the elevator killer is not going to play the same as it did in 1983 because he wasn't universally known.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it'd be like saying David Letterman is the is the
Wait, that's
killer.
Old. That's old. That's people too old shit too. Who's on now? Conan O'Brien? I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
it'd be
TV.
Like saying Conan O'Brien.
What's the elevator killer? Yeah, it was kind of like that. I would hope young people still knew who Conan O'Brien was. That was only a few years he went up there, right? I don't remember. We're so old. But yeah, so other than that, I think it would pretty much play the same. And like I said, if you like Young Frankenstein, I can't imagine you not liking this. Because this is kind of, it's like a similar, I feel like this is a similar
kinda
vibe to Young Frankenstein type of thing. Not quite as much of an homage to.
Technically though, and the way it looked, it looks to me a lot like a cross between Ghostbusters and Little Shop of Horrors. That's what
it is kind of in that vein.
It's a comfortable kind of, it's comfortable. It's a colorful kind of a high budget movie.
Yeah.
Had decent special effects for what it was. It didn't have the special effects that you'd find in Ghostbusters. But
it didn't really have special effects until the end.
Right.
It didn't really need them with the whole
brain
transplant thing.
And I would say it's probably on par with like the special effects you'd see in Little Shop of Horrors, probably.
Yeah.
It didn't have the big talking plants or anything, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a similar kind of thing. It was more, like I said, a straightforward kind of...
It's a fun movie.
...story. But yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. So thank you for sending that to us, because I love that movie so much. That was one of my favorite movies growing up. And I was so excited to see that it was just as funny as it was when I was a kid. And like I said, me and my brother used to fucking... We used to quote this to each other all the fucking time.
You also sent the Andromeda Strain and, what was it, Reanimator?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He sent us a whole bunch of different movies.
Which we watched them all, I think.
Yeah.
We just got to do shows.
We always, we always appreciate it. And, oh, and he sent Last Man on Earth. And, the Vincent Price one. It's like, yeah, we always appreciate free movies if anybody wants to send them.
We haven't seen that one yet.
Just a hint.
I've seen it a long time ago.
I saw it. I saw it.
I'll see it again. That's black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched it until, like, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's the, like it's like Omega Man or I Am Legend.
Right? Yeah, it's based on I Am Legend by Richard Matheson. Honestly, I think that's the most faithful adaptation. All the other ones kind of went in their own direction.
It's hard to beat Omega Man, though, with Neville
in his
Air Force jumpsuit with his colonel's hat and his MK-760 Smith & Wesson submachine gun mowing down the damn...
As long as somebody has a cool gun and or a cool motorcycle or car, he doesn't care about anything else about the movie.
he was the king of the world, man. He was the king of Los Angeles. There was nobody left. He was the last man.
You would love that shit, wouldn't you?
Well, he went crazy. Remember, he's playing chess with himself.
Well, who else are you going to play chess with?
Actually, he was playing chess against Caesar.
Yeah.
He had a bust of fucking...
With the hat on it,
Caesar on it with his hat on. He's
playing chess. What else are you going to do? There's nobody else around.
Yeah.
And even if you did find somebody else, they probably don't know how to play chess.
Yeah, no.
So, what else are you going to do?
It's a good flick, though.
I don't think I would go crazy.
We got to do one on the Omega Man.
Yeah, we probably should. Wait, did we already?
I don't think we did Omega Man. Did we?
We've done so many that I don't remember. Yeah, we have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure we did Omega Man.
I think we did. Yeah, I think we did. I think we did Omega Man.
Look at you, he's so drunk. He's like, wait, did we even do that movie?
I think we did Omega Man.
It's funny because we had, like, one of our listeners was like, oh, you should do The Thing. I was like, dude, I think that's the first movie that we did.
Right.
We did The Thing. We did, like, a whole bunch. We did
can't
They
remember
Live.
What we did.
I know. Well, sometimes I have to go back and check because I was like, well, because I have the list and it's like sometimes I have movies on the list and then we never get around to them.
Some movies I'd like to redo again because the sound quality was so bad back then. I went back and tried to listen to my Conan review, and man, I could barely hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we have a good
Conan
microphone.
Didn't sound
good. We might have to
take some of the old ones down and redo them.
I might have to redo them. Although I'm going to have to listen to them so I can remember what the fuck I said because I don't remember.
I just do it over. We'll see.
We don't script the shit
at
all.
Yeah, we don't script anything.
Obviously. But yeah, like I said, if you like sort of horror-tinged comedies and you haven't seen it, because like I said, I feel like it kind of... If you didn't have pay TV back then, you might not have even heard of it or seen it.
Half the people weren't alive back then.
That's like, well, the Wikipedia page is like, I went and looked at it because I was like, Carl Reiner directed that, right? And I went and checked, and then I was like, what the fuck? There's like hardly anything on it. It's like a plot synopsis, and that's it. And a cast list. That's all that's on there. And they said, oh, it has 76% at Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, 76% of people have good taste.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So anyway, that'll do it for our latest movie retrospective. Remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to make a one-time donation. It'd be much appreciated. Also, remember, our movie retrospectives, just like this one, come out every Friday. Our 13 o'clock matinee show, which is 3 new movies in the theater, that comes out every Sunday. And our regular episodes, which are usually true crime or paranormal shit, whatever we feel like doing, they come out every Tuesday. So check them out. And we will see you next time. Bye.